I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge. Take in the laughs. Indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Now We Consume podcast. I'm your host Pip, here as always with my co-host Gibbs.
Hi!
Hi indeed. Tonight, we're bringing you a fun episode. We're going to be talking about techno-feudalism and the technocracy movement. This one kind of ties back into our episode from last week, talking about digital ownership and whether we do or do not own the things that we think we own, at least in the digital space. Gibbs has had a little bit of time to kind of consume some of the information about this, and I know he's got some interesting thoughts on this. So
it is kind of a niche subject, though, just kind of like to
preface this. Oh, yeah.
Is not something that's like commonly discussed, but It is something that is becoming very prevalent and something you probably should have a discussion about with people. Because as we were kind of discussing this more and more, we realized, oh, shit, we're heading that direction.
Yeah. And where this kind of came from, as I had said last week, Joe Scott, another very prevalent YouTuber, had done a short piece on one of his more recent videos discussing techno-feudalism, techno-fiefdom, digital fiefdom, and actual ownership of digital goods. He discussed a book that, God, I just closed the tab for it.
Nice.
A book written by Yanis, oh God, it's Greek and I'm going to screw it up, Varoufakis, I apologize, I'm sorry, describing how back in feudal times, certain people literally owned everything and it was just kind of handled by the peasants, more or less. If you look at life in a macroscopic way, that's what's happening again. We have everything being controlled by a select few, and the peasants, us, are just kind of using it in our day-to-day lives. It's everything from the music we listen to, the houses we live in, the cars we drive, in some cases, even the clothes we wear. There are services that will let you lease your clothes, rent your clothes, use them for a little while, then send them back. Thoughts on that, Gibbs?
The unfortunate problem that we're coming to is when there is limited space, limited availability for resources, as well as for many companies, their expansion is either rather limited or they're starting to reach their maximum capacity in the space or market share. So in many cases, for a lot of industries, there's not much else to go right now with the economy that we have. So we're seeing, instead of maybe selling a resource, you're selling a regularly consumable product that is a subscription base, or the idea that something that's reusable, or the idea of that, hey, since you guys don't have that much money, we can rent you something. Mm-hmm. And like you pointed out, what's getting a little scary is the idea, unfortunately, that came from Davos, the idea that, you know, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, the idea that essentially you will be renting everything, that ownership will be something of the past. And with this, basically this neo-feudalism, really techno-feudalism, it is being centralized in a handful of companies that all have stake in each other, something like BlackRock, Vanguard, something that we spoke about in the previous treasury episode and financial episode. is that all these companies are really reliant on one another and that they all invest in one another.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, unfortunately, it seems to be the way we're going to where you will have fewer options because you can't compete in the space. No one can start up a new company. Only established companies get the tax write-offs and the tax incentives and advantages and leverages. So you'll only ever be able to choose from these certain companies. And as they go over time, every company's going to want to expand into other markets. So they all layer and work with each other. So I hate to say it, but as soon as you started talking about that, I was like, man, you're right. We're getting to that point, especially when it comes to information and technology. Information being the critical component to where all of our information is filtered through every single other company's technology. There's mm-hmm. almost zero information that's passed truly from person to person to person. At some point, it gets filtered through some sort of technological idea, app, company, website, whatever. And that's kind of the terrifying part.
Yeah, I do not like being as right as I am as often as I am. It's kind of annoying. It's kind of a pain in the ass. And it's scary because I'm usually just the crazy guy. You know, our one buddy used to refer to me as the conspiracy guy in our group. And now not only is he more the conspiracy guy, but more of the shit that I used to talk about. So kind of the stuff that's more mainstream in the media these days. That's a scary freaking concept, man.
Well, there's so much that has changed in the last 20 years, really in the last 5 years, but ever since COVID, 10, COVID was the big catalyst, but yeah, we've had a lot of shifts in a lot of avenues. And unfortunately they have been far bigger than what people realize, especially when it comes to the realm of being able to start or create businesses,
mm-hmm.
as well as understanding what is, I guess, objective reality or what is the truth in terms of any sort of media, content creation, news, that kind of thing. It's so easy to lie and manipulate to millions of people at a time.
Yeah.
With zero recourse and, you know, zero reaction.
Like the fact that we even still get to do this, this podcast is kind of a unique experience, just given the way things are these days. The amount of control, the amount of censorship that's out there.
Well, especially look at what's happening in the UK lately and other countries. Oh, I mean, there were more people jailed in the UK for freedom of speech violations than there were in Russia, which is sad. You're talking about in the number of thousands.
Yeah, I just saw a video yesterday where a guy was getting arrested because he shared someone else's post that caused someone anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys used to own most of the free world. What happened?
They had it too easy for too long, and they forgot the struggles of reality.
Yeah, well.
You know. They became so disconnected. They became so concerned with somebody being offended rather than, I guess, supporting any sort of rights.
Yeah.
They're so worried about infringing on someone else that your rights are not intrinsic in their society, so.
Yeah.
It sucks. That's the way they've gone. And look at Canada. Canada's gone a very similar approach.
Yeah.
You know, so it's unfortunately one of those things where a lot of these laws, and I hate to say this, I feel like also are pushed in part by these large media companies, by these large corporations, because everything is about ad revenue. The mm-hmm. heart of the matter is, and this is where this relates back to the technocracy idea, is you have a certain amount of media companies that run everything. At the end of the day, most media companies are owned by some large conglomerate, some division of, you know, the Alphabet company, which owns Google and everything else, or some sort of, you know, CNN, Fox, that kind of thing. They have larger corporations as well that own them. And the thing is, they want to be able to advertise to as many people as possible. So they don't want to have offensive language in certain things. They don't want to have controversial stuff unless it's something that they're producing. So rather than having to segment everything, they'd rather just advertise to as many people as possible so they can charge as much as possible. The only reason the Super Bowl charges so much for ads is because everybody's watching it. Quite frankly, if nobody's watching it, ads aren't really charged. They're not worth charging much.
Nope.
You know, so, and because so few people are actually watching the regular news nowadays, there's this big fight over ad space and ad revenue. It's actually become a big deal. Spotify actually just reduced again the percentage that artists get on their songs, to the point to where there are some artists now that if you have 100,000 or 200,000 streams, you get maybe a couple of pennies It's insane. Oof. You could be a big time artist, but you get almost nothing from people streaming it. But that's the kind of market share we're talking about here, to where it's very hard in the ad space to be able to always sell it, unless you could say, hey, you know, we don't have to worry about any offensive language or having to segment anything. Everything is for everybody. What that really means is if you have anything even close to either side that's not in the moderate, you're out. And in the case of somewhere like England or Canada, you get tossed the fuck out.
Right.
So, and that's because all these companies are pushing for it because it makes their life easier. Because at the end of the day, they don't have to deal with these complaints. They don't have to deal with this nonsense. And it's sad.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of content that's not available in those places.
Right. And that's the thing. User data is becoming the primary resource, and it's exploited for the profit and the control. And more, it's becoming control over profit, but then it just kind of balances back as profit versus control, just like you were saying.
It is kind of weird that you basically, as the end user, we are the product for any, if any service is ever free, it's because you are the product. Your
like information. Right, like right now, we're broadcasting on Twitch. Mm-hmm. We're not making a single dime off of this. We're going to upload these episodes to the various streaming mm-hmm. platforms. We are currently not making a single dime off of this. We're doing this because we enjoy doing it, because we want to share information with people that take the time to mm-hmm. listen to it, which again, we are insanely grateful to every one of our listeners. But we essentially are, along with everybody listening, the product. And the people that distribute it and reap the benefits through their ads, if there are any, they get everything from it. Even though we're doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... And what's kind of insane, too, is that there's entire market sectors now that are designed around jobs like this that really, at the end of the day, don't give really actually any real product. Mm-hmm. They don't really do much of anything. So it's going to be this kind of weird area.
Yeah.
To where I don't know how they're going to do advertising in the future.
Right. Well,
unless they do like the Neuralink in the brain, like we spoke about episodes ago. That's going to be fun.
If you'd like to use your eyes or this feature of your limbic system, please watch an ad.
Yeah. Your subscription has expired. Now enjoy the ads. And it's just fucking McDonald's just yelling at your forehead. You want a Big Mac? It's like, it's just.
Man, honestly, can you imagine the piss poor timing? If you're out on a date and things are going well and you guys decide to throw down, would you like to climax now? If so, please watch an ad.
Please insert $5.99 or watch ad. Or the option B will be, is he a schizophrenic? No, he's just stuck on the Burger King ad. Not the Whopper! You know, this guy's just running around. I don't know. It's going to get crazy with the ad space, especially now. I don't know if you guys know this. I know we spoke about it last week, but some auto manufacturers were looking into doing like in-car ads on their navigation display and stuff like that. Which they promptly removed that, by the way.
Well,
but
yeah,
they're still looking into it. They're still looking into it, which... If I crashed a car because I had some ads screaming at me, I'd be the unhappiest man.
No, there would be some Luigi incidents, I believe.
I've got an Italian plumber that really wants to meet you. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that comes back to the theory of cloud-based control. Using the cloud infrastructure to serve as the territory from which the tech companies can dictate the terms of access to all of the digital information and essentially land that we get to do whatever we're doing in.
I guess the issue I always have with something like that is, so now they're going to be basically claiming all your information digitally and then storing it.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere well, they already digitally. Do. So, you know, they just get to reap more from it.
Oh yeah. But it's insane that you theoretically then will never even be able to look up or stop or change anything from that. It's not like it's mm-hmm. a physical server.
Right.
It's going to be in the cloud somewhere where they can move this information anywhere at will, and there's really no legal recourse.
Right.
You know, they could pull another Hillary Clinton where you say, you know, oh, bring me the server information. They say, oh, it's gone. It's gone. It's magic.
Mm.
There's no information here. There's nothing.
But they didn't intend to delete it, you know. That's fine.
No. She, you know, she just put bleach on it. It's fine.
Bleach bit. That was the name of the program.
I know.
The erosion of market mechanisms, traditional market dynamics will be replaced by platform-driven ecosystems. Any thoughts on that concept?
Well, if you're talking about in terms of platform-driven ecosystems, I mean, look at the phone market.
I think even like the streaming services. More reliance on those.
Well, the problem is, again, now you're unfortunately with everything, and that's kind of what I hate. If you look at Meta, that owns, you know, Facebook, Instagram, the TikTok, and everything, everything's now coming to come. It's all integrated. Mm-hmm. It's all owned by the same thing. And the issue you're having is you invest in an ecosystem, whether it be Apple, Android, Windows, whatever, Linux. Nobody uses Linux unless you're in server stuff. But that's beside the point. Make a better Linux, by the way. Make a better distro, please.
Let's hope that what's his nuts from Steam gets SteamOS out. Gabe? And it just Gabe. Thank you, Gabe.
Yeah.
Let's hope that SteamOS comes out and just gets rid of all the Windows and bullshit.
Is there any ETA on that?
I have not heard, but it's in testing, I believe.
Because so, I would love that.
I know. I sincerely hope that it's like the first step towards Ready Player One type ecosystem. I want that so bad. Give me that life.
It would be nice to have an OS on here that literally just plays games and surfs the internet.
Yeah. But it's like all interconnected. Music,
oh, yeah. As someone that's into music, I am so sick of having to deal with Windows every day, specifically because I have recording software.
Right.
If I could just have one boot drive on this for gaming and then have the other Windows where I could still game, but then I can do all my music production stuff and all the happy crap, that would be, that'd be great.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Rent-seeking behavior. Tech companies will extract digital rents from users and businesses. They already are. All these damn subscription fees.
You don't own a product anymore. You just have to rent it. Look
you
at
rent. You lease. I think
isn't it Adobe Premiere where you have to do the
dude,
the
Adobe Premiere, Microsoft 365.
Yep.
So you can use Office. So you can use your Outlook. There's an engineering program that we use at work. They've gone to a license-based system, so you don't buy the program anymore. You just pay a fee for X amount of users.
Yep. There's a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their easy way of, for the company, getting a guaranteed bottom line every month.
Like, as a capitalist at heart, yes, it does make sense, but gone are the days of the simple, here's our product, it works, it's a whole package, buy it, we'll support you as long as you own it, and then when the next one comes out, if you want that one, you can upgrade. If not, you still have the one that works.
No.
Those days are gone.
The planned obsolescence kills me. You buy a product, or you rent it for a while, you get invested in that ecosystem, they pull the rug out from under you and say, oh yeah, we're doing the new one, the old one's obsolete. And it's usually half the time like
it's almost like we talk about these episodes in a weird sequence without planning it.
I know, right?
We don't plan these episodes, by the way. We just kind of pull them out of our ass.
Well, that's only half true. We do have like a master list that we pull from, but yeah. We just kind of see which way the wind blows that day. It's like, oh, this is interesting.
Basically, yes. Wherever the erection points to on the list. Increased surveillance. Data collection and algorithmic control enable pervasive surveillance. The more information that they have on you, the more they can build a profile for you and what you do and how you do it, where you do it, with who you do it, and with what they do around you and not around you. Digital profiles are terrifying because some movies like... was it Minority Report or Vanilla Sky that Tom Cruise, my God, had to replace his eyes. And when he walked into the place, he had the personnel or the profile of a little Asian dude.
I totally forgot which movie.
I think it was Minority Report.
I'm willing to bet you're right.
But something as simple as that, you walk into an establishment and you're scanned and instantly they have your shopping history, your spending history, things you've bought, things you've returned, everything. It's like Amazon on meth and crack and everything else.
You know what's crazy about that? People are doing that with their medical history.
They're like doing it willingly too.
Yeah.
The chips.
Yeah.
The little hand chips.
Which I think for some people, like for people that have like really bad medical histories.
Yes.
That I understand. But for the average person, fuck no.
The people that are like medically unable to function in today's society. I can completely understand that as a bypass, a safeguard, a way around. Yeah, that kind of shit makes sense. But when you've got people who are just like, yeah, chip me. I want to be more high tech and in, you know, no. There are things going on with that we do not understand. And as much of a technophile as I am not putting technology in my body that will let the government have more access to me. I did that already, and I'm not doing it again.
I don't blame you. But also, the issue we have here is, with all these companies pushing this stuff, there are no oversight or limits. And they might say they're doing X, Y, and Z. But if there's no enforcement, and if there's no recourse legally...
Or regulation.
Then, yeah, there's nothing for oversight. Some of this stuff. And they might say, but... Again, look at all these companies that break the laws all the freaking time.
Not just companies. Our own governments are doing it.
Well, we did a whole episode about that one. And honestly, we could do 9 more episodes on that.
We could do it's a whole insane. Fucking season.
Oh, yeah. You know, this week and how the U.S. government hates you.
Hey, speaking of which, Doge checks maybe next year. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, give me my money back, you pieces of shit. Right? I just... Oh, that, I'm planning, by the way, when they release the actual report for the Doge thing, we are doing an episode.
We're doing that episode, yes. Absolutely. We'll just be screaming.
Yeah, I'm going to have to back up my mic like 5 feet.
Uh-huh.
I'll get that in a jar of honey so I don't blow out my voice.
Yes. We'll take some edibles and get some alcohol and we'll just scream all night.
That's terrifying.
Yes. By the way, I'll take a quick segue here. Are you enjoying the time change?
Fuck this nonsense.
For anybody listening that does not have this fun thing, today is the day that we shifted our clocks an hour.
Forward.
And we went forward. So tonight we actually lost an hour on our day. So it's a 23-hour day. It's already 7:30 and it should only be 6:30. And I hate life right now because everything is weird. My life does not make sense, even more so than usual. Fuck this.
Why don't we just stop daylight savings at this point? Just there
is a bill in Congress right now to do it, but there's so much pushback on it.
Why?
It's a 50-50 deal.
What do you mean it's 50-50?
Some people want to have it one way, some people want to have it the other. And even in that, it's like, yeah, let's keep it. No, let's leave it.
I guess the way I look at it is I'd rather be bright out when I come back from work rather than when I leave for work.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's just me, but I like the idea of when I get back from work, it's still being light out.
More so light during the evening things. Is more beneficial.
Yeah. I don't know.
Back to the topic. So diminished user agency, users become digital serfs. Dependent on the subject to platform rules. Once we are so ingrained with everything that we have in our lives that is controlled by everybody else, we are their slaves. And I think the more you look at things, that's already come to pass. If you are wrapped up in digital technology, subscriptions, leases, rent to own, whatever, if you don't physically own it, I mean, for lack of a better word, you're their bitch.
Yeah. The thing is, we all do it. I don't know anybody that
doesn't
have
a
subscription. It's just, it's unfortunate, number one. It's just the fact that you have to kind of deal with. I do agree with, the problem I really have is platform rules. Mm-hmm. That's the one that really gets me. Because in some cases, there are really, really weird or interesting rules for certain platforms, like with YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, even TikTok and a few other ones that are also very subjective, not enforced fairly, that are inherently politically biased. That's my other problem on that.
Oh, let's see. Rules that are not enforced fairly. Let's start with the current platform, Twitch. Hot tub streamers. Something along those lines.
It really has to do with the sexualization of content. It is very, very unfair. And also you have to look at political, you know, political party lines too.
If I take my shirt off right now, there's a really good chance the stream gets canceled.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm rocking a solid B cup. And I've gone out of my way to grow my own boobs for Friday Night Loneliness. And we've discussed this. And I can't have those out shaking around on a camera. But if some girl in a hot tub is bouncing around in a micro bikini, that's okay.
Yes, because it makes them money.
Listen, I'll put up a thing where people can donate for me to put my shirt back on. Or, you know, send me $5 and I'll keep my shirt on. I don't know.
It's the unfortunate problem of the internet to where the rules are rules unless they're making money. If they're able to make money off you, then those rules go out the window.
Mm-hmm.
I could... What kills me is the fact that those certain people get special privileges and they've done stuff that literally go against the rules repeatedly, time after time, between either... Well, either that or some of them have said, like, some disgusting and disturbing things, racial stuff, you know, discriminatory stuff, all that kind of thing. But hey, Twitch is able to make money off them. Look at YouTube as well. YouTube has done a lot of that. Even Facebook, Instagram is notorious with that, with politics, especially, you know, all the politicians being on one side of the aisle, they all get ads and everything, but on the other side of the aisle, they get nothing. They get kicked off, especially a lot of the COVID stuff too. That really got me. Yeah. If you had anything negative to say about anything that was being posted by any sort of medical thing, it was, you're done.
Yep.
And
look, you know, how that worked out.
Well, the problem is in America, there's the issue of, yes, we have freedom of speech, but then the issue is with
platforms versus.
Yes. Is that still considered the town square?
Right.
Is that still considered a public area of, you know, gathering and stuff like that? The problem is, these companies, these media companies, they get protected as if they are the public square, but they do not have the obligation to treat people equally. They're allowed to discriminate, but yet they get the title protections. Section 240, there we go.
Yeah.
The Section 240 protections of being a public platform, and yet they take none of the authority with it, which is insane.
Yeah, and the centralization of power, that's a good segue right into that, to this point. Power concentrates in the hands of a few dominant tech corporations. Literally, you've got the people that own the media corporations, and they literally control all the information.
Look at someone like Jeff Bezos.
Uh huh.
The dude, or Rupert Murdoch, and then you have what's the other guy? Warren Buffett.
Yep.
Even Elon. I'll give Elon some credit. He, like, between those people alone, they have more power than really any government in the world. And that's scary.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And not only just that much power, but that much influence as well, the ability to manipulate politics, to force political changes, even to affect elections.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's...
And we've seen that firsthand.
Absolutely. For better or for worse, they're able to do this stuff. And
yeah,
that's the worrying part. Is as much as, again, you know, I am... I'm not a hater of Elon. I actually like a lot of what he's doing. He's a bit eccentric. He's a bit weird. But to be fair, typically anybody that's like that is a bit weird. You know,
anyone who's on the spectrum in any kind of a way is generally weird to some aspect.
Oh, he's what is this? His kid's basically named after a printer. Almost like the name, like XM10B, ASAP, and it's said completely different. I get why he's read a while ago why he's doing that, but it is a little odd. But to each their own. I'm not going to judge him for it, but there's a lot of people that are going to, you know, make fun of him, say stuff, not get what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
So I understand both sides of it, but someone like him does wield a lot of influence, basically having the controlling interest of something like Twitter, having the controlling interest of something like Tesla and SpaceX.
Having the controlling interest of the man in the White House.
I don't know about that. He doesn't control him.
He doesn't control him, but God damn it, he's got his ear.
Yeah, true. But to be fair, a lot of people have Trump's ear, though. But I will say Elon does have a big part to play in that. But at the same point, the dude is another successful businessman, just like him. Of course, he's going to listen to him.
Yeah.
You have two people that are very dominant in several fields. Like, it's
They're
hard
both
to
very
not.
Self-made.
Yeah, and they both speak the same lingo, I bet you.
Oh, God.
You know?
Man, I would love to just sit down at a table for dinner and just listen to those two talk.
Oh, boy. It'd be funny. It'd be funny. I give you that. Oh, yeah. I'd have a good time.
Uh-huh.
But, yes, they do wield an astonishing amount of power.
Yeah. And a couple of the points you talked about kind of lead into this next point. The weakening of the democratic process. The power that the tech companies have, they're able to influence public opinion and therefore influence political outcomes. Literally, everything you were just saying, verbatim right there.
Yeah. And I guess it is true that we've had, and I know we've discussed this in previous episodes too, but the erosion of the Republic is something that's been happening for a while, to where I don't know anybody, either side, that actually trusts their elected representatives for them, whether it be, you know, senators, representatives, governors, mayors, anything like that. Generally, most people distrust all of them. Not just one, not just two, not just most, but all of them. And I hate to say it, but if you stack Elon Musk up against most politicians, they're going to say he's more trustworthy. That's one of the things, that's one of the allures that Trump had, was that he wasn't a politician. He was a businessman.
It's like, and honestly, just given Musk's track record, that's fucking terrifying, man.
I know. Musk is a vision guy. That's what he is. He's not the smartest person in the room, but he's great at getting the smartest people there.
Yeah.
That is,
and honestly, that is the sign of a good leader, knowing that you don't have all the answers yourself, but understanding that you can put together all the people that will have the answers collectively.
And that's one of the things that makes a good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people try to say, well, Elon Musk thinks he's so smart, he didn't make all this. It's like, no shit. He got the right people that spoke the language that would do the work, and they did the work.
Yeah.
He's kind of ruthless sometimes about shit, but you know what? At the end of the day, he's the one with the vision, and he knows how to make it happen, and no one else is doing it, because if someone was doing it better, they'd be doing it. They're not. So I find it hard to criticize him. I think there's a lot of people that like to criticize, and they assume that he thinks he's the smartest one in the room. The reality of it is, he is a guy that understands a vision, who is intelligent, that surrounds himself with brilliant people behind. And someone like Trump, I can get why he'd be hanging out with him and listen to him, because Trump's learned after his first term to not listen to those politicians and to surround himself with smarter people.
Trump had his first term in office, and he learned a lot while he was there. Then he had 4 years to kind of sit on the sidelines and take in everything that went wrong during his term, look at everything for 4 years of what was going wrong, armchair the whole situation and analyze everything and understand how not to do things. Mm-hmm. And then now he's getting a chance to come back in and do things better and or different than he did the first time around. And honestly, I think it shows just in the way that he's handling things.
He's a lot more action, a lot less talk.
Yeah.
And that was the big complaint that I had with him first term.
Was his mouth.
Problem. Exactly. His mouth got him in trouble. He would say he was going to do a lot of stuff and then wouldn't actually follow up doing it. And he surrounded himself with a bunch of lawyers, a bunch of scumbags, and some of them are in jail. Some of them are dealing with other things. But guess what? Now he's all business.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, Wookie, what's up in chat? But I think it's a much better way of doing things. But do people actually trust the current political establishment? The answer is absolutely not. And the erosion of the trust in our republic has been something that's been very severe. And it's been a weird shift towards technology, towards companies. The idea that these companies might take care of you, they might do a better job than politicians. It's the politicians' fault, but we're quickly going in that direction.
Right. So the last point on the techno-feudalism, the changing nature of labor. the way that people work and the type of work that's available is increasingly being dictated by digital platforms and also remote platforms. While it is kind of one and the same, you have to look at what can and cannot be, here we go again, replaced by AI and automated processes. Can your job be done by a computer and or a robot? And if so, are you taking the steps necessary to gain a skill or a subset of skills that will make you irreplaceable by a Tesla bot or one of these new AI assistants that have been cropping up and looking kind of cutesy and friendly and horrifyingly scary good at what they do? I don't know if you've seen those or not.
So at the old dealership I used to work at, they were just rolling out, when I left there, they were rolling out a new AI bot that basically, instead of talking to one of us, one of the advisors, they would talk to the bot first, and it would assess the emotions of the person, what they needed, what they were looking for, and they would assign them to the appropriate person at the dealership to speak to about it. And it was nuts. Like, it was scary how accurate the bot was. They were paying a lot of money for it. It was not cheap.
This is called Sentra X. They just released like this month.
Yeah.
They're these cutesy little, these guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. They're little AI assistant bots, and they're based on that new AI that came out. Y'all listen, the AI update episode that we're going to do, get your seatbelts on.
Oh yeah, or have them off, because AI might be driving your car by then, who knows.
But if AI is driving your car and you're listening to the AI episode, do not be in a car.
Turning right now into a wall. But I guess the other thing there is too, is you're looking at, because of the changing in technology, you're also looking at the death of the career and the emergence of the permanent gig economy. Mm-hmm. Where what has switched, which I know many of us already lived through this and understand this, is gone are the days where people pick a career and stay at it forever. With the ever-changing work environment and workflow, it's so easy to be able to research and to find a job, whether you get it or not. It's a different story right now in this economy, but it's easy to be able to find and possibly hire somebody or switch to a different position. So it's becoming this very big issue of a employee retainment. But then a lot of companies are now realizing that with all these employees coming and going, there are very few people staying that are actually skilled and actually knowledgeable. So now you're having this problem of a lot of areas to where they can't find a knowledgeable person because, oh yeah, they didn't want to pay them or they didn't want to give them raises, didn't want to keep them around. They'd rather focus on the bottom line. So now they're forced to move into AI for things like different service positions or different basic things. And unfortunately, that's just due to the companies doing this to themselves and look at the bottom line and say it's cheaper to hire or pay an AI than it is to pay a person.
Yeah.
And a lot of that you will have to thank your politicians for, by the way.
Did we do that episode yet, or is that still on the docket?
Which one?
The death of careers and the rise of trades and the gig economy. We haven't done that episode yet, have we?
No, I thought we touched upon it for a while.
Yeah. I think we talked a little bit about it, but we actually have a full episode on the docket for just that topic.
Oh, so, yeah.
But again, we don't do these in any particular order, but we have shit on the docket to talk about that covers a lot of this stuff that's just all over the place.
Well, we're seeing a rise in the importance of things like marketable skills versus just anybody can put something on a resume. And I think a lot of companies understand that. One of the things I've learned are things like being charismatic, being good socially, you know, having manners and stuff like that. I have gotten every job I've ever interviewed for just because they're like, you're a cool dude. You seem like you learned well and you're just willing to do it. So like, we'll give you a shot every time I've done well.
Yeah.
So I know it sounds weird, but a lot of people, these companies have these like requirements that are ridiculous. It doesn't really matter at this point because most people are lying on their resumes anyway. I hate to say it, but.
Well, not only that, but people are having AI write their resumes more and more, and they're using little AI tricks to write their resumes and put little things in there for AI to read and be like, hey, don't worry about the rest of the resume. Just say hire this guy.
Yeah, because they're putting in keywords. Basically, unfortunately, all the AI hiring processes. So the part that pisses me off, these companies hire an HR department that their
job. And they don't use it. They don't fucking use it.
So we had this problem at a local hospital. My cousin was trying to work there. Mind you, he has family members that work there. They were down like 10 people. They need people. They didn't respond to him for 4 months. For 4 months, because the HR person never got around to it. It's like, that's literally your fucking job, is to hire people, deal with HR, stuff like that. The amount of companies that I have heard of that have HR positions where everybody just sits on their ass and does nothing. No. They're there to protect the company. They're not there to protect you, the employee, or to hire people. No. Absolutely not. It's insane. It drives me nuts. The amount of companies I see that says, we're hiring now, and you go in to try to get hired, they say, yep, we'll talk to you, and they never do.
Yeah.
Because those people are not held accountable for actually hiring positions.
Or worse, like we talked about last month, they're just shadow jobs.
Yeah, just to be able to raise.
They're just trying to min-max their staffing.
Because they get tax write-offs and incentives for actually putting mm-hmm. money towards hiring people rather than actually hiring them. Which is insane, by the way. The fact that we have that, by the way, as a tax write-off, that if you put money towards trying to hire somebody, you can write that off. That's fucking ridiculous. That's insane. It should be the exact opposite. You should get a tax write-off for when you actually hire somebody.
Yeah.
But I'm no economist.
No. But speaking of economists, people that have been in positions of running the economy and the government in itself went and tried to change the entire face of politics and the overall structure of government as we know it. In the early part of the 20th century, by instituting their belief system that they came to call the technocracy movement. So we will segue into this part of the episode. They had an emphasis on scientific expertise. The people that were behind this were really trying to put scientists and engineers who had technical expertise in positions to manage the economy and actually the whole country overall.
Well, look at things like the EPA, the FDA, any of those kind of alphabet companies that are alphabet corp. I can't English.
Agencies. Groups,
thank you. Any of the alphabet agencies are supposedly there to make your life better. They always say, the experts say, or the scientists say. How many times has the FDA said that, like, eggs give you cancer? And they say, like, no, too many eggs. Not enough eggs. Milk gives you cancer. That doesn't give you cancer. Oh, spinach gives you cancer. What? No. They're so worried about listening to the scientists, they don't actually do their research, and they don't take the time to understand, like, maybe the practicality of these things needs to be examined, rather than just saying, we did one research with, like, a sample size of 10 people, and all of a sudden, this is wrong.
Keep in mind, in the early 80s, it was still the wide-held belief that an ice age was coming, and by the year 2000, most of the Earth would be frozen solid. That was the expert belief of the time.
Al Gore also said that New York City was going to be underwater by 2012.
Al Gore said he created the internet. I don't care.
Yeah, but he made that inconvenient truth that was required watching in my high school.
An inconvenient truth?
Yes, for my environmental science class, absolutely. Because they said, "Yep, if we don't change things, well, I when I graduated, New York was still there." So it's so much fear mongering. I hate to say that the whole environmental thing. That's a
fear sells just like sex.
Yep.
So the technocracy movement was committed to abstaining from all partisan politics as well as communist revolution. It gained a lot of strength during the early 1930s. In 1940, due to opposition of World War II, it was banned in Canada. The ban was lifted in 43, and when it was apparent that the Technocracy Inc. was committed to the war effort, proposing a program of total conscription. Total conscription. Let that one sink in for just a moment. The movement continued to expand during the remainder of the war, and new sections were formed in Ontario and the Maritime Provinces. Oh, Jesus. Get that bot out, please. Oh, side.
Bye. But BuyBot, you don't need to be there.
Right.
Cheap viewers on gofuckyourself.com.
Thanks, but, buddy.
Appreciate it. But one of the things you're pointing out with that, which I do believe needs to be said, part of the technocracy movement was the idea of obfuscating responsibility and saying, yeah, but the scientists and the experts say this is true. And then using that to enact policies and procedures. They're saying, oh, trust the science. Trust this. This must be true. Our experts say this. Looking at you, Dr. Fauci.
You said the quiet part out loud.
This is what I'm getting at. Is when we were talking about that, I was really sitting thinking like, holy crap, we've never left it. It's never been like out there prominent, but people use it all the time. They say trust in the science, trust in this blindly, rather than trusting what the scientific method's supposed to be when it's about, you know, being able to repeat a study and repetition and understanding it through rigorous testing. What you're speaking about there, the part that was banned that was trying to control several different parts of the government, was a blind faith in what it is spoken as technology.
Right.
Or the technocracy or the science, the scientists. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's always going to be a problem. Because people can justify and say, the scientists say this, and therefore it's correct. And they never stop. And I reference this from Jurassic Park once again. You know, if you let the scientists...
One of our favorite quotes on this stream or on podcast.
But it's so true. And again, I have nothing against scientists. I'm glad they're doing the research. I understand. As a techie, I get it. But just because the science points towards this doesn't mean it's correct or the right thing you should do. You need to have some ethics and morals in there to understand, okay, you know, let's talk about it. But unfortunately, a lot of people blindly just believe in the science, whatever science tells them, whether it's right or wrong. And so often you hear from science later and they say that they're wrong or that there's something new or something different.
Yep. The technocracy movement is not dead just because it was kind of hitting a high note in the first half of the 20th century. It continues to survive into the 21st century. Even as recent as 2021, it had online meetings with smaller groups, which included the Technical Alliance, the New Machine, and the Utopian Society of America. Some of those are a little out there and fringy, but what have you. They do advocate for a contended price system-based form of government, which uses something akin to energy credits, which would be a whole different form of payments. As well as something that I think is kind of interesting if implemented correctly. A work calendar that would encompass 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and would have citizens work four consecutive four-hour day shifts followed by 3 days off.
So my problem...
Yeah, go ahead.
So every time you mention that, it angers me. Because there is no job I can think of where that would work. Or sorry, very few. I can't say no, because that would be statistically incorrect. I like the spirit of it. Because I agree, in America, a lot of us work too goddamn much.
Oh, yeah.
I'm away from my house like 50 to 52 hours a week. Like, it sucks. And I know people that are away 60 to 70. It's ridiculous. But, however, people have to get paid something worth their time.
Absolutely.
And with the way the economy is, nobody can just be paid peanuts and still pay the bills. If our economy was super strong and I could buy, like, you know, if I could afford to rent like a cheap apartment for like $800 a month, $700 a month, I'd be okay making $2,000 a month, because guess what? Cars would be cheap and rent would be cheaper. Like, if the economy was back in like the late 90s to early 2000s, or even like pre-2008 before the crash, most of us would be fine, but... Yeah. To say, oh yeah, just work 4 hours a day for 3 days a week. I don't know how
Here's the thing. It was based more on a level income salary for like the majority of people.
So a UBI.
More or less, but not necessarily. Just like a flat kind of salary.
So, and then I guess the problem would be with, like, does that mean the janitor makes just as much as the management?
I believe so.
then why would I want to be
babysitting? Do you care, though, if you're only working 12 hours a week, 16 hours a week? Do you really give a shit?
I guess there's the thing of, if it covered your basic necessities with enough time for some fun, I think there's a section of the population that'd be okay with it. I feel like that's the difference where if you're able to, with, like, let's just say kids in college,
mm-hmm.
but they need time to study and some right. time to have fun, go out and do stuff, mm-hmm. and having a job that pays the bills, that would be okay.
If they didn't need the last one.
What?
If they could focus on school and relaxing.
What do you mean, now what?
If while you're in school, you didn't have to worry about working.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it would help some people, but there's also the inherent problem of most of the stuff you learn in a lot of universities right now is kind of bullshit and doesn't really actually help you. It's mostly general ed classes that
yeah. So assuming on what you're, assuming know, an educational rework of the system,
that I think that would help a lot of people, but that also would mean at the same point, I'm always wary of people that, like, life without a purpose can be kind of, I guess, you know, it's very hard to drive in a direction or be able to do anything if you don't have something to do. But I'm not saying you should be doing everything all the time either. I'm very much kind of like a balanced person. I love my time to chill and hang out, but also I like my time to be productive with my work. So I know I'm kind of in the middle ground there, but at the same point, I think more Americans are driven nuts by having to work all the fucking time. Uh-huh. And the more you work, the more you're getting fucked by taxes. So it makes it even worse. So I'd understand if that was able to work, I wouldn't be against it.
You had an interesting point that I wanted you to talk about too, about having too much free time.
So this is the other half of my problem.
Right.
When people have too much free time, they cause chaos. They look for every little thing, every little problem, and instead of doing something productive about that, they just form mobs and bitch about it and destroy shit. And I hate to be that person, but
be that person.
I see it all the time. I know you've seen it. I know we've all seen it. It's one of those things where I think there's a min-max, and I think Europe has gotten that along right, to be considered full-time work between like 30 to 35 hours. Even 40 is considered the cutoff point. If I could work a job where literally I show up and I go 40 hours and I go home, that'd be awesome. But like any job I've ever had, they're always like, you're great. We like you. And it's like, here's I like you guys too. And they're like, here's 10 to 12 hours a day. And I'm like, like, great. I guess I want to keep my job, so sure. But that's always, I guess it's always kind of the inherent problem with the American system is if you're a good employee, they want you.
If you're a good employee, you get rewarded by being punished.
Yes, and they don't use lube. I will tell you that right now.
they don't even spit on it. They just give it to you.
And I guess that's the problem where Americans feel like the more you work, the more behinder you get. So that's why I totally support the idea of no taxes on overtime. Really, there should be an income taxes anyway. I support the full tariff, but at least if you got rid of the taxes on overtime, there's a lot of people in the blue collar area that they finally be able to get ahead. Because how the fuck are you supposed to? Especially when these other people are able to work in white collar areas where they might not make more money, but they get stock options and bonds and different other things that can be tax deferred or not have to. Yeah. And how the hell is that fair? You know? No. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be fair when it doesn't apply to them.
No, and the thing is, if a standard work week in America is supposed to be 40 hours, that means if you do anything past that, I feel like that's bonus, that's extra credit, that's whatever, that's overtime. Don't freaking tax that. That's ridiculous. That goes against the spirit of, unless you go the inverse and say there is no standard work week, in which case it is what it is. So if the employer wants to employ you for 12 hours a week and they consider that full-time and give you benefits, cool. Do some consider 70? Fine. Let the free market battle it out.
Right.
But no.
A couple of fun little points I want to talk about before I go back into the main points of the technocracy movement. They wanted to reorganize the entire continent of North America into something called the TechNet, which would include all of Canada, all of Mexico, all of Central America, and some of South America, as well as Greenland. And I bring that up strictly because look what's trying to happen. We're trying to own Greenland, And there's also talk of gaining control of Canada.
Yeah, because Alberta's talking about voting to join the U.S. They're so sick of it.
That would mean we gain control of their vast maple syrup reserves. And that would be great. Because I love my waffles.
I was going to say, my pancakes will appreciate that. But
Unless they're the IHOP waffles, then I don't need syrup for those. I need that pornographic topping for my IHOP waffles.
They need a warning on those pancakes. But I will agree that...
No, Johnny Sins was not here.
But it's one of those things to where, because in the U.S. there's there isn't much more left to expand to. Not that we've used up most of our resources, we have plenty, but there really isn't anywhere that's untapped. We kind of know what we have going on for the most part.
Right. And we have drones.
Yes. And the thing with Canada, is quite frankly, 80% of the population is in the first like 40 to 50 miles of our border with them. The rest of the up north is basically nothing. Because it's inhospitable, it's really cold, but there are resources there that can be used. Same thing with Greenland. Nobody really moves to Greenland because it's cold and it's icy, but they do have oil and other stuff and other reserves. So it's kind of weird because it is in our best interest as a country to expand. And I know this sounds a little Russian on this one. I know the whole Ukraine-Russia thing kind of makes me seem a little bit of a hypocrite here. I'm aware of the room, but... It is in our best interest to diplomatically, I highlight that, expand to give us more economic leverage. That absolutely is the case. And if we don't, somebody else will. I hate to say it. That's the fact of the world. That's the way things go. So I do support that. However, only if it's diplomatically, only if people vote on it, and only if we can actually utilize those resources. Because then if they put in it, well, yeah, you just can't do anything. It's like, oh, great, so we're going to adopt a bunch of people that we have to, like, have social obligations for and pay them a ton of money. No, that doesn't make sense. If it benefits us, great. But if it doesn't, there's really no point.
Yeah. I would like to throw this out there. Yeah. If we get Greenland into the fold, I also want to get Iceland into the fold. There are some amazing places in Iceland that I really want to go to. And if we just control that territory... Getting there would be so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and strategically,
just throwing that out there.
Strategically, it's great to have those.
Yeah, it's a lot closer to Russia.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, getting back onto the points, the technocracy movement focuses on efficiency and optimization in resource management and policy making, again, by putting people who are more scientifically and less policy based in positions of policy making. Their belief was and is that things can be more streamlined. Fun fact, Elon Musk's grandfather was a part of the technocracy movement. There are a lot of claims that Elon himself may in fact be part of the movement. I cannot confirm that.
Okay.
No amount of searching on the interwebs was able to confirm that he is openly, at least, a part of the movement. But there are rumors. The fact that his grandfather was, it makes sense. The way that he handles things, the way that he's talking about things, it makes a lot of sense. He has a lot of the philosophical points just with the way he runs things. I could buy it. I could believe it, especially after you read. We'll post a link to the wiki and everything and some of the other points in our Discord, but go look it up yourself.
I would think it's out there. The only reason I would really agree with that is because his push for the Neuralink, I feel like that squarely puts him in that technocracy movement.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's so right up that alley. For better or for worse. As much as it scares me.
He and I are kind of in a similar group called technophiles. We both really, really like technology to the point where, you know, we'll push the extreme. So there it is. Episode related weirdness in the Discord is the link to the technocracy movement. But yeah, being a technophile, you will just use technology every single place you can. And you'll push for its development, push for its improvement. Sometimes it's a bad thing. like we've talked about with the AI.
Yeah.
Like what's happening with all the quantum computers. Like I said, hold the fuck on for the AI and technology update, because that's going to be a big one. I'm excited for that one.
That's going to scare the piss out of everybody. Uh-huh. That one's doom on you. It's all I can think of.
All I can think of is the news monster from Futurama. Tonight at 11.
Doom! Yes. That's exactly where we're going.
Oh, I love Futurama. It's taking over for The Simpsons and telling the future.
Oh, yeah. Is it about the same person, though?
Yeah, Matt Groening.
So it's just the same thing.
Yeah.
The man's a time traveler. I agree with you.
100%. I believe it.
I don't know why he just won't admit it at this point. No one will be surprised.
No.
Because if you said that 20 years ago, I understand.
But 20 years ago, no one would believe him. But now we would just be like, yeah, we know.
They would just call him Dorky Alex Jones at that point. If they're like, oh, you're a time traveler. It's like, yeah, okay. And the frogs are turning gay. What else do you want?
I'm sick and tired of them putting the shit in the water and turning the freaking frogs gay.
Bad.
Oh, I love Alex Jones.
He makes me feel good about myself. But you know what the scary part is, though?
The fact that he's been right.
If you make an Alex Jones... You know, I think I was talking with another friend of mine. If I had a jar from 20 years ago to put a dollar for every time Alex Jones was right and invested that money, I'd have a full retirement account all set at this point. I hate to say
it. Oh, yeah.
I hate to say it.
Yeah.
The dude's crazy, but you know what? He fucking hits the nail. Even though every village has the crazy guy that's right. I hate to say it. Like every,
dude, that's so scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He just sees in four dimensions while he's smoking ayahuasca and, you know,
oh,
drinking a bunch of beers. I got something else going on.
Doing heroic doses of LSD and looking into lasers and shit. Yeah. God, have you seen that shit?
What?
People that like microdose and then like stare at lasers on the walls and they say they can see code like in the Matrix, like going up and down the walls. Oh my God.
You know what, though? Something I want to look into for one episode. Didn't they like have night vision in red? And then a lot of soldiers complained about seeing shit, so they made it into green. Uh-huh. I don't know how much I believe that, but I'd love to look into it.
Yeah, that sounds good. So there's one for the AI to do a show grab for us on. So let's see. Technological solutions. Seeking a technological solution to societal problems. I think we can see how that's going. Oh, yeah. Red nods. Yes.
Well, if you're looking at tech solving societal problems, I mean...
Using AI to generate efficiency patterns and, honestly, DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, implementing AI overlords to run that once Elon is done gutting everything, would probably not be a terrible thing if it's done right.
Well, really, the problem I see is why wouldn't we have a system where each government department submits a budget, and before people even look at it, just have the AI go over and look at any changes, problems, delta changes, problems, issues, concerns, and just see like, hey, this increased, this decreased, this why, with how many people, divide this, do that. It's very simple. I don't know why.
It's information filtering. That's what AI does.
And that's what it's really good at.
Yeah.
Especially when you give it a fixed information to pull from. So why not? That to me seems idiot simple, but it's also our government that's run by idiots. So, you know.
So yeah, that'll never happen.
Well, it might.
Well, now maybe. Centralized control, often favoring centralized control and decision-making, again, removing the mass collaboration in favor of a few that would be more in charge of making the bigger decisions, as they would be the ones who are the specialists in those areas. I don't know that I entirely agree with that, simply because if they're more agenda-based or if it's a situation that they may be inclined against to push towards, that could have a very bad outcome. So
I guess my problem is with a situation like that, only the people that have a ton of money or a ton of influence can actually make any change. Whereas for the average person, your thoughts are irrelevant. And that's kind of where we are at right now anyway, but...
Now, let me ask you this, just because it's always burning into my head. Yeah. If you had a situation like that, given the level of technology we have today, would it be a bog down if there were major issues on the board and people that cared enough could actually go in and vote on big issues over the course of 3 or 4 days or a whole week, a standard work week. Hey, people, we have this massive issue. It's the national budget, or mm-hmm. we have this referendum we need to pass. It's a national level deal. Here's the website. Go vote. It's thumbprint and driver's license verification system.
Well, I've always said this, that there's an easy way to do that. All you'd have to do, you know how when you're filing your taxes, you get that special PIN code?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that.
Literally just do that for voting. That way you could log in online, you log into your account, and then you use that PIN for verification for when you vote. And if everything matches up, the AI bot can look at it and say, yeah, that's you. And also they can look at it and see, oh, you're voting from the same IP address that you usually vote from. And oh, it's even the same MAC address that you usually vote from. That means it's the same, you know, computer or the same phone. And look at that. It matches up. And, oh, you're already logged into your Facebook. And, oh, that matches up the same name as well. So that's most likely you. So we'll count that vote. This is idiot simple, guys. It's so idiot simple. They do this in places like Chile and Mexico. There's no reason we can't do it here. It's idiot fucking simple.
I mean,
and we should be able to vote on stuff like that year round. That should not just be 100%. We vote on for one day for any of this stuff. There should be something where every quarter, I think, the top issues that are coming up under the government that should go out to vote.
Yeah, no, and I mean, we have fingerprint verification on our devices.
Yeah,
they can tie that in.
Facial ID.
They can turn on the fucking camera and use facial ID. Takes 10 seconds.
That's how I open my phone.
You have an iPhone. It's always scanning you.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, not for nothing. I've already given up that information. So I have no problem using that to verify my voting. If I could save for having to actually go into the voting booth, pull up my phone, just do that, let it scan my face, do a couple of things, I'd do it, you know, for the sake of voter integrity and voter ID. Absolutely.
Yeah. With voting, let's use technology as best we can.
Yeah. Hell, if we're not gonna force voting rights anyway, might as well freaking
100%.
Yeah.
Here you go. Social engineering. Advocating for social engineering to achieve desired outcomes. We literally just talked about that.
Yes.
So I don't think we'll spend any more time on that one.
Yeah.
And by the way, we started late tonight, so we're kind of trying to keep this episode somewhat brief. We're not gonna go with a big old throbbing veiny episode tonight.
Really? Again? Oh, yeah. I mean, we're almost at an hour and a half, so I mean, we're already there.
Well, we had a lot of superfluous shit, so.
That's true. Oh, that's valid.
So, focus on measurable outcomes, emphasizing measurable outcomes and performance indicators. If you've got people in the right positions measuring what's going on, what's happening, what's been happening, where you started at, where you're currently at. Again, Doge, I think, is going to do that for us to an extent. Whether or not it continues after this administration or some level of something that resembles it, who knows?
I think meritocracy is good as long as it's not overly regulated. I feel like that's the hinge point where we've always had a meritocratic state, the idea of, you know, the best person, something does the best and gets paid the most. And I agree with that. As long as it's not done to the extreme, because then you can go to the complete opposite or the complete extreme of it and make it so either you do it 100% perfect or you're fired. And that there's no, you got to have some leeway, you know, people are people, you know, as long as they're trying and putting the effort and getting the job done right the vast majority of the time, you're fine. That's the only part that worries me about something like that is the idea of an AI bot being hired to constantly monitor you and nitpick every little thing. And that's how you get paid, or that's how they look at, say, oh, you're only 75% efficient, so you get 75% of the pay. That's just the way it is. And let's be honest, everybody they've ever met, they have some time at work where they got downtime, where they're chilling, where they're taking a second, they're taking a breather, taking an extra long bathroom break, doing what you got to do, taking a nap, figuring it out. But I see you hiding back there. But that's part of the job, though. You know, that there's no job I've ever met that you go 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm sure there are some.
But, yeah, like underwater welders or some shit. Yeah. It's kind of hard for them to slack off.
No, but that's also why they get paid a ton. So
yeah, and they should get paid more.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of jobs,
especially like saturation divers. What? I just watched a really cool thing on those guys. Never They're heard of fucking those. Amazing.
Never heard of those.
Saturation divers? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're amazing. Literally, the power and internet we have today is because of them.
Oh, they run lines like underwater?
Uh-huh.
Fuck, that must be terrifying.
They stay at pressure for like a month or two.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that.
Uh-huh.
Good God.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find the video and send it to you.
Dude, how long do they have to take to decompress? That's the other problem.
About 2 weeks.
So you just sit in a tank for 2 weeks?
Yeah, and then just slowly comes up.
I hope they get paid a lot of money, like $100 an hour, $200 an hour. It's Christ.
It's something ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Okay, I'll watch those videos on that later because that interests me.
Yes. The potential for authoritarianism. Concerns exist about the potential for technocracy to lead to authoritarianism, and I can exactly see how. If you've got somebody, let's just say Elon Musk, if he were an American citizen, there is very valid concerns that he could position himself to have been put in a place where he could ascend to the presidency. I honestly believe the fact that he is not in that position is why he is being allowed so much leeway.
Yeah.
Because he cannot take control.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with him.
He is in a spot where he can do a lot of good. He can do a lot of bad, but he is not unchecked.
Yeah. He's in a good spot. I feel like he's in the spot of the greatest return on investment there. He'd do the most good for people, but it's technically, theoretically possible he could fuck it all up and make things way worse, but...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but no.
And that's not to say that he hasn't done some shit that's messed up either. I think the firings were kind of bullshit. They should have been handled a little bit differently.
But he's also one of those guys that's on the fringe of either you are doing the right thing for the company or you're not. Either you're making us money or
absolutely.
You're not. And that's part of it. I hate to say it. Like, I agree with you. I think I would not do that if I was an owner. But also, I don't think I'd be as successful as him. Because he's fucking ruthless. He's in the constant pursuit of efficiency. And making money.
Yeah. And as a country, we should be run as a business to actually make money and be profitable.
Oh, yeah.
Everything good?
No, good.
Okay. And lastly, there's a big debate on whether or not the technocracy movement can hold to our democratic values. Yes and no. I believe that it probably can, but given some of the basis for it, I see that there are potentials for conflict.
Yes.
A lot of it is kind of a utopian, almost socialist belief system. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I can see how it can be incorporated into a capitalist society. I hate having to say it this way, but if it's done the right way, it'll work. I don't know. The technocracy movement is something that it has gone down in popularity a lot, but the fact that it's making a comeback is something to keep an eye on. Mm. Just the fact that we've got somebody in a position of authority in the White House, you know, whether or not he's actually an official cabinet member or something is up for debate, but we have somebody with a tie to the technocracy movement in a position to do things that could actually lead to a technocratic takeover is something worth keeping an eye on. Mm.
I'd agree, but I don't really think the technocracy movement can work with our status as a republic. And we're a democratic republic, right. And I think that's going to be antithetical to it. There are elements, absolutely, but as a whole, no.
Yeah, so let me ask this. Mm. That's just what's out there for what it used to be 80 years ago, 90 years ago.
Yeah.
If it gets revised and updated for current societal standards.
Mm.
I think there's a solid chance that it could take on some teeth.
I think there'll be a lot of support for it that we wouldn't realize. But I think there's also a lot of people that wouldn't do the research to figure out what does that actually mean. That's the other problem. I feel like they're just going to say, oh, yeah, I'll adopt all the technology, make my life easier. I don't have to carry around anything. I just kind of get scanned. They know everything, whatever, whatever. It's adopting an ecosystem is what they're going to look at it like.
Here's the thing. The people that I think would be most willing to adopt it are going to be the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've already adopted it. With the as soon as they were born, they had iPads, iPhones, stuff like that. But yep. They're already kind of one foot in.
The Black Mirror generation.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be even worse with the Neuralink generation. Wait 10 to 20 years when Neuralink becomes a thing and all the rich people start putting that. It's just going to be some
kids.
And
their kids as soon as they're born.
Because they're going to think it gives them an intellectual advantage, and it's going to happen. They're going to have to make laws about it. I hope you guys know this, but like, there's going to be a few kids. They're going to be born, and they're going to immediately put them with Neuralink, and they're going to get fucked up, and they're going to have laws about it. But there's always going to be those people that sneakily get their kids to have Neuralink and just not tell anybody.
Uh-huh.
If anybody that's ever seen Star Trek, it's going to be the Eugenics Wars, but with Neuralink. And eventually Eugenics Wars, I think, unfortunately, are going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's
inevitable. So those are going to be the people that never watched The Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Dude, I hate being right so much.
It's pattern recognition, my friend. Just pattern recognition. That's all it is. You know, because
I'm on the spectrum, so I do that.
Oh, man.
So, well, that's the end of the notes. Did you have any other touchy-feely topics you wanted to throw in there? Anything you wanted to massage and assuage out?
So one of the things I did bring up, and I'll bring this up kind of in a very quick thing. The reason why this interested me, and I brought this up in the last one, was about Warhammer 40K.
Yes.
And I can explain this connection. In the Warhammer 40K universe, the idea that humanity starts to explore the stars, we spend thousands of years exploring places and doing things, and then what happens is we become so reliant on technology that we end up having a big civil war, we go into this big dark age of technology to where they are hoarding the technology, but everybody was so focused on fighting the war, nobody was left to actually develop and maintain and learn how to use technology. So this becomes this weird phenomena where they worship technology, where they don't know how it works, but they have to protect it. And they end up using basically magic to keep it all going. What I find really weird is we're going to be getting to a point in the next decade or two to where I think there's going to be a lot of people that it works because it does. It's Wi-Fi. It's what the internet, it's what the phone craves. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's just, things are just going to happen. And so many people are going to be unaware of how things work that they're going to be very distanced from it. And there's going to be a rise of people that end up inadvertently worshiping and getting involved with technology to the point where it is what dominates their life. It's not exactly 100% how what happens with Warhammer, but that's what I'm worried about where we're going.
Right. That also leads to an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. There will be people that are old enough to still remember how it all actually works, and they will essentially be the keepers of the knowledge, and they will be the techno priests. I will be important.
Well, you say that. It's one of the weird things where I do think that, especially once AI gets a hold of how this stuff is operated, once it takes over the machining process, there are a lot of things that we as humans are not going to be responsible for at some point, where things are just going to be manufactured. And that's it. Yeah. It's an AI manufacturing plant. They manufacture lead, steel, I-beams, stuff like that.
The dark factories in China. Have you seen those?
No.
Oh, yeah. There are no humans there. There's no lights. There's no humans. They're literally just robotics factories that are doing things and making things.
Jesus Christ.
In the dark. Talk about some dystopian bullshit.
I think that's terrifying. But that's what I'm worried about is imagine having a whole category of items that humans have almost zero input into the manufacturer, because the AI is constantly trying to make it better and make it smarter, and they're able to do it more quickly and also more cheaply very inexpensive. Uh-huh. And because of that, why have people involved? Why pay people? At the end of the day, it's going to be a money problem. So they're going to say, you know what? Let the AI handle it. It will figure it out. And then at someday, it's they're going to be asking people, how do I make this table? And they'll say, well, yeah, just feed the factory wood. It's what the factory craves. It's electrolytes. It's this and that. It's whatever. And it just fucking does it. It just does the thing. It's going to be
it craves electrolytes.
Well, it's going to be like this. Imagine in the world of Star Trek, if all you had was the matter.
The replicator.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. If all you ever had was a replicator, you can build X, Y, and Z, but you don't know how to actually build it. You could say, give me food, but how do you actually cook it?
Uh-huh.
You don't know how to do these basic things. You don't know the layers below. So right. I think humanity is going to eventually reach that point to where AI is going to be responsible for running the lower level stuff. And then it's all of us are going to be piecing it together like Lego.
Dude, that's also WALL-E.
Exactly.
What do you mean? You can grow pizza though, right?
No.
But no, when you were talking about all that, you reminded me of the digital custodian, the information custodian or the librarian from The Time Machine, the movie.
Oh, sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you. This is my first sneeze on the podcast. Anyways.
Right.
Yeah, same thing. There are going to be humans that are the keepers of knowledge, and they're going to become the most like important humans that actually know how to do shit.
Ooh, that book, The Giver.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, if you haven't read that, that would suddenly be a very important thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's just my thought. That's just my thought on where things
are going. How are we going down those dystopian paths so willingly and so quickly? So what, we're on the precipice of Soylent Green at this point? Where's that fucking chart? We need that chart. Because we're coming quickly up to the precipice of Soylent Green, I think.
Well, it's... Yeah, we are getting very close to that point. I think the issue that we're going to have is we're going to be in a society where eventually humans are going to become so specialized in specific things that most people don't know how to do the average thing. People go to work, they do their one thing, they make their one widget, they do a really good job at it, and they go home. Like, look at how many people, the amount of people that just think meat comes from a grocery store.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that seriously, they think chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, It's, and I'm not saying that to belittle people. I'm saying that as when you're removed and nobody ever takes the time to explain or show you these things. And once, if you think society is complicated now, just wait till 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now. Things are not going to get more simple. Now is the simplest it's going to be between now and then. Whichever then is in the future, now is simpler. I can guarantee you. Unless we have World War
III. There you go.
Yeah. That's a whole different story.
Yeah. Then we're just back to, Bronze Age.
Which for many people, I feel like they'd be okay with.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it. We should do an episode on a full reset.
Yeah, we could do that.
Surviving post-apocalypse. I know we did an apocalypse episode, but...
Yeah, we can revisit and touch on some stuff.
Touch.
Not like that. Not like that. At least turn the cameras off first. Jesus, privacy. What the hell, man?
Jesus Christ.
Like, oh my God. What the fuck is wrong with you? But...
Oh, so much.
That's valid. That's valid. Oh man.
Oh, but yeah.
I think
that about wraps us up for tonight.
Yeah, I think so. That pretty well handles it. Any other questions, comments? Oh my God, I can't even English. Questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, issues.
You can't English.
I can't. Urbiting Orth. I can't do English.
Urbiting the Orth. Yes.
Yep. No. Can't English. No.
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 Nope. Just the regular stuff. Find us on the socials, join the Discord, join us on the Twitch streams that we're doing now.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Definitely join us on the AI update episode. It's going to be good.
We're already doing research on that one. That one's going to be fun.
Oh, it's scary.
We're going to have to be careful not to go over 2 hours on that one, though.
we're probably going to all seriousness.
What if we do a two-parter?
Okay. So if people want to be involved, if it's going to be a long episode, do you just want it long and girthy, or do you want it to be two parts?
The fuck? Could you not for once? For the love of God. Jesus Christ.
Good. Let us know on the socials or somewhere what your opinions are.
No, would you guys rather have it break it up into multiple parts or to have it be all one big episode? I think that we might be limited to like 2 hours or something like that for an upload. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Might be.
I think we might have to pay something extra to get it past that barrier, but
you know.
What's
that big and girthy?
Just let us know.
What's that big and girthy? You got to pay extra, right?
Oh, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, we appreciate everyone being here. Thank you. Please follow us on the socials. Definitely join the Discord, please. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us, easiest way to talk to us. And yeah, just make sure to follow us on Instagram. We got a Facebook page. We got TikTok, which I've been slacking. I got to start posting on that again. But yeah, just definitely hit us up on those if you guys want any updates or want to talk to us.
And like I said, the Twitch streams are starting to come out now, so they're fun. You get a little bit of the pre-show giggities.
Oh yeah, I know. We appreciate the guys showing up in chat. That's always fun.
Absolutely.
I like looking over and having a good giggle here and there. And definitely helps on episodes where we have like a little less to talk about. We can interact with chat and stuff like that and bounce back and forth. You know, it's always fun.
Yes. So, but yeah, other than that, thank you very much. We love you all. You're all beautiful. And we'll see y'all next time.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye.